We have Indoor Gardening 101 here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I love seeing fresh herbs on my windowsill in the warmer months, but in the winter, it's an extra perk to see green indoors, and not to mention the flavor boost in cooking. Indoor vegetable gardens can be grown from seeds, from transplants, or even food scraps, and we're getting the how-to. What questions do you have about setting up the garden, watering it, using grow lights? How are your grow lights? Bring them on 800-642-1234. Joey and Holly Baird are a Milwaukee gardening duo who founded the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, and they host a radio show by the same name on 15 stations around the country. Holly and Joey, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you for having us.
Well, Joey, let's start with you. Growing our own food has really come on strong in the pandemic. I'm sure you've been seeing that. What are some great foods to be able to grow indoors now that it's getting cold?
Well, we have seen a tremendous increase in at least some type of growing your own food mindset. There's many different things in which you can grow indoors successfully, assuming you have the knowledge, the right technique, and the right tools, which on a very simple scale is not that difficult. The easiest things that can be grown indoors are sprouts and microgreens, but if you want more of a larger quantity of items, leafy greens are very easy to grow with minimal amount of work. Dwarf cherry tomatoes, you could do dwarf citrus trees, which takes a little bit of time. Bush beans, peppers, radishes, mushrooms through a mushroom kit, cilantro, scallions, herbs, and the list can go on and on. But those are kind of the smaller scale, easy to do for anybody in their home.
So much variety, so much color, so much possibility. I mean, if we only had more space, right?
Correct.
Well, Holly, you know, you've been in the growing your own food mindset a long time. Is there a different knack that you use when you think about your indoor garden space?
One thing is definitely is to think about what space you have and how to utilize it the best with the light. So if you don't have proper light, you may have to invest in some light, but also think about what would be the best area where you can maximize your space and also for your plants. So if you have small children or pets that might get into your plants, you have to consider that. You also want to think about where they might, as they continue to grow, where you might have to move them around to. If it's something that you are going to end up doing year-round, are you going to have to repot them? Think about not just the space they're going to be in when you start them, but also once they start to grow a little bit more and ease of access. If you're growing something like microgreens or sprouts, you're going to harvest those more frequently, and that's something you might want to be able to get to easier versus something like a dwarf cherry tomato, which might take a little bit longer of time to grow.
We're talking with Holly and Joey Baird. They're the people behind the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, and they're helping us out planting on an indoor garden today, taking your questions about indoor gardens. Are you planting one this winter? What are you thinking of planting? What questions do you have about the tools you need, about the things that you need to get your garden growing? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Holly, you have said microgreens can be grown in small spaces. Can you tell us how to sow those microgreens? How does that work?
Sure. So something like microgreens, you can simply just take a shallow tray of soil or growing medium, and you can even use something like the bottom of a milk carton. That works just fine. And then you're going to plant the seeds, whether that be something like lettuce, some sort of other leafy green. And sometimes people just sprout microgreens in a glass jar, and those will sprout over time without growing in a medium as long as you keep them moist.
Joey, what are some of the things that we should have on hand as we start, you know, thinking about our indoor garden? Any supplies that you would suggest?
we want good seeds. Uh-huh. We want some type of growing medium, whether that be a potting soil, a soilless mix, cocoa core, something in that range. Now, if we go with a soilless mix, such as a cocoa core or a peat moss, we're going to have to add some type of nutrition to the soil for the plants to grow. But let's just focus on a standard potting mix, which is the easiest to get a hold of and the simplest to grow in. Also, we want to look at light requirements for the plants. Are you in a type of basement where you don't have any adequate light, or you only have north windows, which provide very little to not very good adequate light? You would need some type of grow light system. So you want to look at that. And grow lights can be very cheap if you want just something to sustain the plant, or an investment if you want the plant to grow very, very successfully and produce, not only right now during the grow during the winter months, but you can also use that grow light in the spring to start your seedlings for the outdoor garden season. So you can use that, both of those. So that's pretty much the tool: seeds, some type of material to grow in, and if necessary, grow lights are the three big keys to what we can grow indoors successfully.
Yeah, we're trying to switch over to LED lights in our house. I'm wondering, are those grow lights that you would suggest that are more long-term? Are those LEDs?
Yes, those are LEDs. Now, we work with a company that manufactures and develops the Happy Leaf LED grow light. They're out of Chicago. They're made in America. They're designed by an engineer who owns the company. And he has lights that he understands the spectrum of color in which the plant needs in order to grow successfully. And that's what those lights provide. In addition, he has told us that the lights are so natural looking that people have actually installed them into their living quarters as just normal everyday light, because it mimics the sun and mimics natural light so prevalent that they enjoy that much more than a traditional light bulb in their living room.
Wait, what are those called again? I want to jot that down.
HappyLeafLED.com.
Huh. All right. You know, how long should you have those lights on and off during the day? Should they be in a timer? What do you suggest?
A timer is best. We normally run our lights about 12 hours on, 12 hours off. This is typical. Now, if you're trying to grow long-term over the course of years, not just during the winter months, you would want to more mimic summer hours and increase the light intensity, or the light on and the light off, to, you know, maybe 13 hours or 14 hours on and the remaining hours off. We don't want to saturate the plant with 24 hours of light for 7 days a week. The plant needs a little rest time and recovery. So a good rule of thumb is 12 hours on, 12 hours off to start with.
And then you can kind of check on the plant as well to see, you know, how it's doing, how it's growing. What about moisture in the air or humidity?
That is a key to a failure of most indoor growing situations. You water, you think you're good, you come back in a couple of days, and the plant is dried out.
Yeah.
And the plant is dead because of the dryness or of the air in your home. Over the winter months, the air is typically drier, which will suck out the moisture in those containers much more rapidly than it would in the summertime. So you want to be set your smartphone on a timer every day, or check in the morning and the evening. And the simplest way to check if your plant needs water is simply stick your finger in the soil. Yeah, put it down to the knuckle. If you feel moisture down there, you're good. If you don't, you need the water. And you water generally. Don't saturate it. Just give it enough water to soak the soil, and that's a good start on watering your plants and keeping them alive and productive.
We're talking with Joey and Holly Baird as we grow indoors this winter months. You can join in with your indoor gardening questions, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with the Bairds here on the Ideas Network. We're designing an indoor garden on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This isn't vegetable-related, but it is so cool. I have to tell you, I took my tropical hibiscus indoors right before the first frost, set it in my porch, which is all windows, very bright, and lo and behold, it's thriving. There are little buds all over it, and I'm so thrilled because my porch is now my home office, And I have this very happy with the world hibiscus in a big pot on the floor right next to me. So what are your indoor growing success stories? Are you trying flowers or vegetables from seed? What about microgreens or herbs? Join in your questions, 800-642-1234. Holly and Joey Baird of Milwaukee founded the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener, and they stay with us. Holly, I have to say that my porch may be the good place this winter to try out indoor gardening. I just changed it into a four season. It's chilly out there, but doable. And, you know, it's lots of windows. I'm just wondering how much space should I try for indoor gardening if I'm just starting out?
I can't really give you an exact square footage of space, but you do want to think about what you want to grow in regards to what size the containers might take up. If it's something like herbs that you're going to end up growing year round, that's something you would want to consider too, especially certain herbs. If that four season porch is going to get considerably warm during the summer, you may have to move those herbs even just outside. So that's something you want to consider. The lighting, it sounds like it's perfect if you have a lot of windows. If you don't have something like a four season porch, ideally, if you're not going to invest in an LED light system, you would want to use a south facing window. South facing windows allow for the most amount of light throughout the day, just simply because of how the sun comes over the earth and the axis of the rotation of the earth. So that your four-season porch sounds really ideal, but for not for everybody.
Yeah.
may not have that ability. I think the biggest thing here is to think about what your goal is to grow. Are you wanting to grow just microgreens? Are you wanting to grow herbs and microgreens? Are you wanting to grow some smaller vegetables? And then consider that space and consider what would fit best in that space.
Yeah. Is there a good combination that you would suggest when, I mean, there's so many different options of things that we can try, but maybe a nice mix of things would be best, or should we stick to one, one produce like green beans, or what would you suggest in terms of our mix as we try this?
I always suggest a variety. And
okay.
The reason why is because if something fails, like say you just decide to grow microgreens and for some reason it doesn't go well for you, then that's all you have, right? So if you grow a variety, then you have the chance to at least have something that takes off for you, or a variety of things. And that way you're going to have some sort of success and have something that you've grown indoors over winter.
What about growing from seed versus, I've heard you can also grow from food scraps. What are your options there?
Sure. So a lot of people will grow from different things like the top of a carrot. They'll grow from the base of celery, the celery stalk, or the bunch of celery, green onions, the chives, they'll regrow. And those are definitely some options. There's some great information online about how to successfully grow from food scraps. And many people do that. A lot of times you're just simply putting that food scrap into a jar of water or a container of water, and it continues to grow, and then you can harvest directly from that. It's almost like a passive hydroponic system, and it's a lot easier than having some sort of true hydroponic setup, and you're reusing your scraps, which is even better.
Yeah. Joey and Holly Baird are the creators of the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com. They're giving us the how-to on indoor vegetable gardening, taking your questions. How long have you experimented with growing indoor herbs or microgreens? What have you learned along the way? Which techniques have you found most successful? Join in at 800-642-1234. Joey, we heard from Derek, sent us an email. Derek says, thinking about trying to grow microgreens, is it safe to use an organic seed starter soil with poultry manure in it? In E. coli concerns with microgreens in general, what would you say, Joey?
Typically, whenever they process, if the compost is broke down, even if the base was the sole base was chicken manure, the compost or the potting soil has been broke down to where those concerns should be not something to worry about. If you are concerned in such, there are many different plant-based compost mix that eliminate that concern. There's leaf-based mix, there's kitchen scrap-based mixes in which you can grow in. But if I was growing in the microgreens in that situation, I would not be concerned with the E. coli at all. Simply for the other reason is you're going to allow the sprouts to grow to a certain designated height, and then you're going to cut them off. Mm-hmm. And you're not necessarily going to let them, the edible portion, hit the soil. And if it does hit the soil, you can always rinse them off before consuming them.
What is the role of compost in indoor gardens? What would you suggest?
For a compost product?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is a company out of Wausau called SU, and it's all plant-based or leaf-based material. You can get it at many garden centers across the state. And you don't have to be concerned with that E. coli or that animal waste compost concern when it's all plant-based or leaf-based.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, if you're going to try, a coccocoir situation for growing, what would, how do you work through that in terms of providing nutrients for what you're growing?
There are nutrient mix supplements in which you can purchase the liquid form. There's nitrogen form, there's iron, there's copper and other phosphorus and potassium liquid form. And then there is basically a cocktail in which you create based on the duration of plant growth, whether it's in the growth stage, the blooming stage, that you water the plant with over the course of a number of weeks, which then gives the plant the nutrients. The coccocoir or the peat moss, those are just mediums in which the plant can grow in for people who are not familiar with those terms. There's no nutrient value whatsoever in those. That's just a location or an item in which the plant can grow, and then you have to supplement the nutrient for the plant to grow. So then if you're wanting to do it more of a simple form, then I would go with the potting mix. And if you go with a potting mix, you want to go with something that has a slow-release fertilizer in it so you don't have to worry about getting in that additional item of that nutrient mixes and then doing the chemistry of how much to put in and when to put in
All
that that goes with it.
That could get a little tricky. Let's bring in Jeremy in Racine. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Good subject. When it comes to microgreens, you really do not need to add any fertilization for those types of plants because they're basically getting all the nutrients from the seed itself. They're just sprouts. So you can use peat moss, just regular peat moss, and lay your seed out, prep your seeds and things like that. There's plenty of YouTube videos on how to prep your seeds and basically put a cover over them, wait a few weeks until they sprout, and then wham, you let them grow to a certain height and then harvest. When it comes to like soil mixes, because I've done this quite a bit, I generally get a big plastic bin, put in my peat moss, add in some organic compost into the peat moss, and then cover and let it cook throughout the summer for a winter mix, like an indoor potting mix.
Nice.
Things like worm castings, blood meal, kelp, and all kinds of types of bags that you can buy supplementation, and just put inside limestone, put inside the soil mix and just let it cook and stir around throughout the summer, and you will have basically a maintenance-free soil-based medium for your plants that will last throughout the winter easily.
Oh, sold. Jeremy, what do you grow indoors?
I've grown basically mostly leafy greens, and I've tried to do tomatoes one time, and it was a little bit of a rough thing because you got to have a more acidic soil for it, and it just didn't really work out too well for me. But I just stick to microgreens, basic lettuces, and that's pretty much what I keep to. I've wanted to try bell peppers from time to time. It's just sometimes the winter gets a little bit hectic and I don't have enough time to tend to them. So I pretty much just put in stuff that just cut and regrow kind of stuff. Really easy, simple things. Nothing fancy or anything like that.
I love that low maintenance approach. Jeremy, thank you so much for so many tips. Cool. Yeah, we're talking indoor gardening with Holly and Joey Baird. Vegetable gardeners in Milwaukee are sourced for how to start an indoor garden this winter. What seeds are you planting indoors? In the COVID crisis, is gardening your outlet? What do you want to know about what you can grow on your windowsills through the winter months? Be part of this 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute with Holly and Joey here on the Ideas Network. We're getting tips for indoor winter gardening here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Came across this. This is so neat. I read in the Green Bay Press Gazette that a domestic abuse shelter called Golden House has started growing produce indoors. They got a grant to buy a hydroponic food system, a flex farm, as it's called, allowing them to grow produce year-round. And the flex farm system is actually made by a Green Bay company. So some really local good news to share there. Are you looking into a hydroponic system? What questions do you have about one? Are you growing leafy greens indoors? Have you had success? Share with us, 800-642-1234. Joey and Holly Baird are with us. They're a gardening team in Milwaukee. They host a seasonal vegetable gardening radio show, and they're with us for the hour. Well, Holly, I want you to be able to chime in there on Jeremy, who gave us lots of great tips on growing indoors, from his soil mix to his greens. Any tips for him on growing those bell peppers?
Bell peppers are definitely not easy to grow indoors just because of the time it takes to grow them and the heat and the sun, the light, the necessity of light. I did want to say that his usage of using the heat to make his indoor potting soil mix over the summer is brilliant. That will definitely kill off a lot of the soil gnats, any sort of insects that might be living in the soil, and then it makes it better for growing indoors in your home over winter. Soil gnats are a common problem for when you are growing indoors in soil. They don't stick around for long, but it can be kind of annoying for a while when you first get started, so that letting that soil mix bake over the summer is very smart. And one thing I definitely wanted to touch on is that we've been talking to different seed suppliers, and they feel that there might end up being a seed shortage this year just because of the fact that with the pandemic, so many people started growing their own food and started to buy seeds and are continuing to purchase seeds. So there could possibly be a seed shortage of some sort at some point. So if you are going to purchase seeds, it's smarter to purchase them earlier than to possibly wait later on in the spring.
Yeah.
So something to think about.
Yeah, but get them sooner rather than later. Karen is joining us from Madison. Hi, Karen.
Hi there. It's Karen.
Oh, I'm sorry, Karen. Sorry.
I have grown mustard greens and also celery in my garden at a community garden, and I transplanted them indoors when it got cold. And I'm hoping that it'll be successful through the winter. I just wondered if there were any tips for that.
Transplanting celery. Joey, what would you say?
You should be okay as long as you give it enough light. And with the celery, many people think you have to wait until the plant is completely mature and you have to harvest the whole thing. Just like you get celery bunches at the store, you can just harvest the outer leaves as you need it, and then continue to let the inner portion of the plant grow as a kind of a cut and come again mindset. Harvest a little bit, let the plant still grow. Harvest some more, let the plant still grow. So it's not all have to be harvested at the same time.
Aha. Karen, what else are you growing indoors?
Onions and scallions. I just trim off the tops. And yes, I do just harvest the exterior stalks of the celery and mustard greens as I go along. I've always tried to grow rosemary indoors, but I don't know if there's any ideas for that. It just seems like it never works. It never gets enough light.
Yeah.
You know, rosemary can be a difficult plant to grow. What we have found is we get the transplant at the garden center in the spring, put it in a hanging pot, and hang it on the south-facing window in our kitchen. The key to rosemary is a very moisture-sensitive plant. It likes to go through a wet cycle and then completely bone dry and then a wet cycle again. If you water it consistently, you're going to develop root rot, and it will kill the plant. And once root rot develops, it's pretty much non-reversible, and the plant is going to die. So you got to be careful on your moisture applications for rosemary.
Yeah, that's a great tip, because I too have struggled with rosemary, and boy, do I struggle with lavender. I love lavender, and I just can't get it to grow.
Lavender, we're in the same boat as you are. We may plant it in a 1 gallon grow bag.
Yeah.
And it grows phenomenal. And the next year we do everything identical, and it's like we can't grow it at all. So yeah, that's one of those things that's a hit and miss for us.
My runner up is sage. I love sage as well. And so if I can't get the lavender going, I really try to focus on the sage.
Yeah, sage is a very durable, easy herb to grow, and can be grown indoors year-round or outdoors in somewhat of a protective area, and it'll come back for years to come.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for calling in. We're talking with Joey and Holly Baer. They're gardeners in Milwaukee. They host the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener radio show. They're helping us with our indoor gardening today. Do you have questions about what you can grow indoors in this winter, and where you should put that indoor garden, how much light you need, how much water you need, what containers are best? All questions are welcome. 800-642-1234. We heard from Matt in Wausau, sent us an email. Matt says plans on growing with LED powered by solar in Matt's basement. In the winter, it's usually around 55 degrees down there, and is pretty sure that spinach will be okay at that temperature. And Holly, is there anything else that will tolerate that low temperature? That's what Matt is asking.
Sure. So there's a lot of things that will tolerate that low temperature, definitely spinach. Any sort of microgreens would be fine. He could even do something like root crops. Radishes would be perfect for that. Those are more of a cold-tolerant vegetable. I don't know if he could do anything like cabbage, possibly. That's something that could be growing in that cooler temperature, but definitely using that solar power and those LED lights will help grow a lot of things for him. But the spinach will be great, and along with the microgreens.
Basements can be cooler down there. What should we bear in mind about temperature?
Just try to keep it as consistent as possible.
Okay.
So if it's something where there might be a corner that's a little bit warmer, or an area that gets more sunlight to keep a little bit warmer, then that would be more ideal than just an open area. And this consistency of temperature is going to be best. So if you have a basement that you're growing in, consider that. Think about the best area to grow in for the consistency of temperature. And if there's any drafts, try to kind of block those drafts.
Is there anything, you know, you mentioned some pests earlier, bugs. Is that an issue in the winter?
Not as far as if you're growing indoors, it typically shouldn't be an issue.
Okay.
As like pests or bugs getting into your plants.
Mm-hmm.
It's more or less for when you have that nice fresh potting soil mix, there's naturally going to be the soil gnats and some other the like white flies those all live in the soil because soil is a living thing. So those all do live in the soil, and once you do expose them to light and air, they are going to hatch and develop, and then you're going to end up with some soil gnats. They don't live forever, but you can do anything, whether it be you can purchase sticky traps, which are they're like a yellow piece of cardboard that have a sticky material on them, and they do attract the soil gnats. Or something, what we do is we take a short dish and we put some apple cider vinegar in there along with a few drops of dish soap, and those attract the soil gnats very well. Huh. And we put those kind of like a few feet away from whatever we're growing, and it's kind of like a soil gnat
magnet.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one thing you can do. And again, they don't live for long, usually like a week or so, but it is something that is going to occur when you have that fresh potting soil mix that you are growing. And especially if you're growing indoors for the first time, you're going to be like, this is a lot, but they do go away after a while.
Okay. Well, you know, Joey, the cat likes to nose around in those green plants. And I'm wondering, you know, when you're trying to grow an indoor garden, what about your pets and how do you keep them away and making sure they're not nibbling where they shouldn't be nibbling?
That can be a challenge. Typically, you would want to put these in an area where the animals can't get to it. But most of the plants, if not all the plants that most people will grow indoors, if the cat eats it, it's just going to throw it up, because when cats eat green grass outside, they're trying to regurgitate something. So it's not going to be fatal to the cat, but they will get in there. And you want to have a cat that is trained to know what a litter box is and what a plant is, so
yeah,
they're not using the plant as a litter box. Some people will spray like peppermint on the plants or around the plants to deter the cat to keep it away. So there is some home techniques in which to do it. But most times if the cat does nibble on it, they're just curious about it, and they're not. And if they're a mature cat, they're not necessarily going to use it as a litter box. I want to go back and touch on what other things can be grown in the basement. Kale, arugula, cilantro are all really good items that can be grown in that cool temperature. And you maybe could experiment with potatoes, too, because potatoes, 55 degrees is kind of the minimum temperature. So that you might be able to play around and see what you can do with that as well.
Joey and Holly Baird, our gardeners in Milwaukee with expertise in vegetable gardening. They're helping us plant indoors this winter. What questions do you have about getting your veggies or herbs started? Thinking about potatoes, what do you use for lighting when growing produce indoors? How well does this method of lighting work for you? Do you have it down to a system? Still time to talk about all facets of indoor gardening. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with the Bairds here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Holly and Joey Baird about indoor vegetable gardening. They're a gardening duo, Milwaukee, founders of the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com. And here's the deal. Our indoor garden this winter may become starter plants for an outdoor garden come next spring. So always think about that. Holly, let's talk about potatoes here for a moment. So do I use potatoes that have already sprouted in order to get them started, or how does that work?
You certainly can. If your potatoes, say you have some potatoes in your kitchen that have already sprouted, you can certainly use those to grow. It means that they are going to be viable to be regrown. If you just have some random potatoes laying around that have not sprouted, I would not attempt to plant those because you don't know if they're going to sprout. So what you do is you want to, if you're going to try this on an indoor level, you could take something like a 5-gallon bucket, and you would want to definitely have some drainage, and you could plant about 2 to 3 potatoes in that bucket, and then over time they will grow, and you will know when to harvest them because the flowers will start to die back. They'll turn, the part that's growing out of the soil will turn brown, and then typically that's when they're ready to harvest. There are some potatoes that do take a little bit longer, anywhere from 80 days to 120 days. So that's another thing. If you don't know the variety of the potato you're growing, say it's something that you just bought at the organic food store, then you would just want to kind of watch the top growth of the potato plant. And then once it starts to die back, that's typically when you, how you know when to harvest it. And yeah, you can definitely try growing potatoes indoors. I did want to give a tip on if you have cats that are get into your plants. Cats don't care for hot pepper. So if you have that issue with the cats around your indoor plants, you could take some cayenne pepper, put it in some water along with a few drops of dish soap, shake it up and spray it on your plants or around your plants. Also, cats don't care for the smell of citrus. So if you wanted to, you could take orange peels or lemon peels, citrus peels, put them around your plants, or you could do a spray with some diluted lemon juice along with some orange oil. Orange essential oil. Yeah, and that would be something that would keep them away from your plants as well.
Ooh, and I love the citrus idea because it's citrus is so wonderful. John from Madison sent an email. John says they live in an apartment, can't have a garden, so they grow tomatoes in pots each year. About 5 years ago, John says, they bought an heirloom tomato plant and said, John says, you know, save seeds from it and its offspring each year. Starts them indoors and at the first frost brings the pots in to let them grow. Last year, John was harvesting tomatoes through December 31st, and the goal is to keep them going into January this year. What do you think of that plan, Joey?
Absolutely a great idea in order to save the seeds and then be mindful of when and what weather patterns are coming in the fall and bringing that plant in order to grow all the way up into January, hopefully into January. There's an old story, or I guess it's a wise tale in the gardening world, that in Hawaii there is a tomato plant that's over 2 miles long because it never frosts. It just continues to grow, and it grows down the ditch of a road. How true that is, I don't know, but because of the climate that Hawaii is in, it would make perfect sense. Now, tomatoes fall into two categories, determinate, which means they grow to a certain height, bear all their fruit, and that's pretty much the end of their cycle, or indeterminate, which means they grow indefinitely. You can continue to trim back the growth tips, but there's no they'll continue to bear fruit. For many people, as such as us, we will grow a dwarf variety, or it's called a Tiny Tim, in a one-gallon grow bag. It will get about 16 inches high, put on tremendous amount of cherry tomatoes, and will continue to grow until we neglect it and it dies. That's pretty much when it will die. And then we'll take it back out in the springtime and set it back on the porch and keep it watered that way. Or sometimes we'll leave it inside because if you put itself on the porch, out of sight, out of mind, you forget about it.
Yeah.
And then you go out and, oh, all that work is now gone because we forgot to water it on a very hot day.
Yeah, yeah. Russ in Stoughton is here. Hi, Russ.
Hi, good morning. I had a question. I have a 75-gallon fish tank that's been established for several years. It has four large angel fish in it and a scavenger fish that roams the bottom. I was wondering if hydroponic or however you say that word, gardening could be incorporated with, you know, a fish tank operation.
Oh, wow. Huh. Holly, do you want to tackle that?
I don't know much about how angelfish live, but you can definitely, a lot of times people will do a passive hydroponic beta fish. So, like, with beta fish, a lot of times they'll grow in a container, aquarium, whatever, with the betta fish on the bottom and then plants on top, and the betta fish eat off of the roots of the plant, and then by their waste, they are essentially feeding the plant. That is an option. I unfortunately don't know much about the angelfish setup and how that could become kind of hydroponic setup. But yeah, a lot of times people will also do that with tilapia in their garage or their basement to grow more of an intentional hydroponic system. So it is an option. You might have to look into changing up what kind of fish you are, you have as pets.
Yeah. Joey, anything to add there about that perhaps an option?
There's certain trays, or they're called rafts, in which you can start your plants in. Typically, it's a coco courge type of material. The roots will begin to grow through it and then grow into the water, and this raft will set on top of the fish tank and will float, and the fish waste will feed the plant, and it works really well for many people, but it just depends on the size of the raft and what you're wanting to grow. People will grow herbs in it. People will grow some people will try to grow larger plants such as peppers and tomatoes, but I would stick with the leafy greens in that, and the nutrients from the fish waste feeds the plants, and that's an aquaponics instead of a hydroponics. Hydroponics is when you use water and nutrients in order to feed the plant. Aquaponics is when you use fish waste to run it through the root system in order to feed the plant. So it is very doable. Just a little experimental and investigational procedure in order to make that a success.
Russ, how does that sound, floating a raft in your tank?
That sounds interesting. I guess I would have to raise my SunGlow lighting, which, of course, sits right on top of the tank. I guess I would have to put that up on struts in order for it to be above surface plants. Does that sound right?
Yes, that sounds that would be what you would need to do in order to do that. Other people will put it's not insulation, but it's a board on top of the tank, and then has specific holes cut into that board so that like a 3-inch pot can set into the tank itself. But your lights would be need to be above both of those. So it's some things that there's a lot of good imagery online in which you can see what other people have done. But hopefully that'll give you a start in the direction you need to go in order to see if you can grow something in with the fish.
Oh, Russ, well, good luck with that. It'll be interesting to hear how it goes. Holly, we only have a few seconds left, but what are your favorite things to do with your harvest and with, you know, what do you like to cook?
Yeah, definitely. If something like sprouts or microgreens, they're a nice fresh addition to any dish, especially during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it be like putting on top of a stir fry as a finishing touch, or even just eggs, that's always nice. Our Tiny Tim dwarf tomatoes, we just eat as snacks. So definitely just the nice addition of, I grew this, I'm going to add this to my meal, is always wonderful.
Yeah. Holly and Joey, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Joey and Holly Baird, founders of the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com. And for weekly gardening advice throughout every season, you go to the Larry Mueller Show for Garden Talk, Friday mornings at 11, Saturday mornings at 6. Tomorrow, it's gardener Tova Martin who will be on the show talking about houseplants and indoor gardening. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.